Okay, so you're here, which means you're ready to dive into something pretty interesting and frankly kind of crucial to understanding how the world works.
Yeah, I mean, think about it like this, we all buy things every single day, right? But have you ever stopped to think about like why some things are always on sale and others never seem to budge on price?
Exactly, like that new phone you've been eyeing probably has a sale every other week.
But then something like gas, the price goes up and down, but you still kind of need to fill up your tank.
Right, like it doesn't really change how much you drive all that much. I mean, maybe a little.
Yeah, maybe a little, but not like with that new phone where a discount might just tip you over the edge to finally buy it.
And that right there, that's what we're going to unpack today. This whole idea of how sensitive we are to price changes for different things.
And like there's actually a name for it. It's called price elasticity of demand, or PED for short.
And don't worry, we're not going to get all textbooky on you. We've gone through some really detailed notes on PED, and we're just going to pull out the most interesting and useful bits.
Yeah, we want you to walk away from this deep dive with like a real understanding of how this concept plays out in your everyday life.
So let's start with the basics. What exactly is price elasticity of demand? Like, if you had to explain it to someone who's never heard of it before.
So imagine this, you walk into a store and you see your favorite candy bar and then boom, the price went up by like 25%.
Ouch, that hurts my wallet already.
Right. And so now you're thinking twice about buying it. Maybe you decide to get something else instead, or maybe you buy one less than you normally
Yeah,
would.
exactly. I might even just skip it altogether if it's that much more expensive.
And that's exactly what price elasticity of demand is all about. It measures how much the quantity of something people want to buy changes when the price changes.
Okay, so it's all about how much our buying habits change or don't change based on the price tag.
Right, and we assume that nothing else changes. Like your income stays the same, the quality of the product doesn't change, just the price.
Got it. So it's like isolating the effect of just the price change, nothing else.
Exactly, and the cool thing is there's a way to actually measure the sensitivity.
Okay, so how do we do that? Is there like a secret formula or something?
You could say that, so the formula is basically the percentage change in the quantity demanded divided by the percentage change in the price.
Okay, that sounds a little messy, but I think I'm following so far.
Let me give you an example. So let's say the price of that candy bar went up by 10%, and because of that, you decide to buy 20% less.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, 10% is a decent jump for a candy bar.
So in this case, the percentage change in quantity demanded is minus 20% because you're buying less, and the percentage change in price is plus 10% because the price went up.
Okay, so we have minus 20% divided by plus 10%.
Exactly. And if you do the math, that gives you minus 2.
Okay, so we get a number. What does that number actually tell us?
That number, that minus 2, is our price elasticity of demand, or PED, and it tells us how responsive people's candy bar buying is to a change in the price.
Interesting. So the bigger the number, the more sensitive people are to the price.
You got it. And based on that PED number, we can put things into different categories like elastic, inelastic, and unitary elastic.
Okay, so break those down for us. What does it mean for something to be elastic or inelastic?
So if the PED value, ignoring the minus sign for now, is greater than 1, like our example with the candy bar where it's minus 2, we say the demand is elastic, meaning that a small change in price leads to a bigger change in how much people want to buy.
Ah, okay. So if the price goes up a little, demand goes down a lot.
Exactly. Now, if the PED value is less than 1, then we say demand is inelastic.
So that means even if the price changes, demand stays pretty much the same.
Exactly. People still buy roughly the same amount, whether the price goes up or down a bit.
And what about that last category you mentioned, unitary elastic?
That's the sweet spot where the PED value is exactly 1, the percentage change in price, and the percentage change in quantity demanded are the same.
So, like a 5% price increase leads to a 5% decrease in how much people buy.
Yep, and that's kind of interesting because in that scenario, the total amount of money spent stays the same even though the price changed.
That's pretty cool. So, businesses would love to find that perfect balance point.
Yeah, it's not always easy to hit that exact point, but it's definitely something companies think about when they're setting prices.
Now, I know there are some like extreme examples of elasticity and inelasticity,
Right.
right? Like where demand is perfectly elastic or perfectly inelastic.
You're exactly right. Those are kind of the theoretical edges of the spectrum. Let's talk about perfectly elastic demand first.
Okay, so what does that even look like?
So imagine a world where tons of sellers are offering the exact same product at the exact same price. Like imagine identical apples from different farms.
Okay, I can picture that.
Now, if one seller decides to be sneaky and raise their price, even just a tiny bit, buyers would immediately switch to the competition, right?
Yeah, when why would you pay more for the exact same apple?
Exactly. And so that seller who tried to raise their price would see their sales plummet to zero. Their demand would completely vanish.
Ouch, that's gotta hurt.
And if you were to draw the demand curve for that scenario, it would be a perfectly horizontal line.
So basically, any increase in price just wipes out demand completely.
Yep. That's perfectly elastic demand in a nutshell.
Okay, so that's one extreme. What about the other end of perfectly inelastic demand?
All right, so for this one picture, something that's absolutely essential for survival, like a life-saving medication with no substitutes.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty essential.
And let's say the price of that medication goes up even significantly. What are people going to do?
I mean, if they need it to live, they'll probably pay whatever it costs, right?
Exactly. In this case, demand stays completely the same no matter what the price is.
Wow. So people are totally insensitive to the price change in that situation.
They have to be. It's a matter of life and death. And if you drew the demand curve for this, it would be a vertical line.
Okay. So horizontal line for perfectly elastic, vertical line for perfectly inelastic.
You got it. Those are the two extremes. But in reality, most things fall somewhere in between.
Right. So let's talk about those in-between cases, relatively elastic and relatively inelastic demand.
Sounds good. So relatively elastic demand is when a small price change leads to a bigger change in demand, but not like a complete drop to zero.
Okay. So give me an example of something that would fall into that category.
Think about luxury goods, like a fancy designer handbag.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that being elastic.
If the price of that handbag goes up even a little, people might think twice about buying it. Maybe they'll wait for a sale or choose a less expensive brand.
Right. Or maybe they decide they don't really need a new handbag after all.
Exactly. So the demand curve for relatively elastic goods is flatter, meaning people are pretty sensitive to price changes.
Okay. That makes sense. So what about relatively inelastic demand?
So this is where the price change leads to a smaller change in demand. Think about everyday necessities like salt or water.
Yeah, you kind of need those no matter what.
Exactly. Even if the price goes up a bit, you'll probably still buy roughly the same amount because you need it to cook and drink.
So the demand curve for those inelastic goods would be steeper, right?
That's right, steeper, because demand doesn't change as much when the price changes.
Okay, so we've got our category straight now. What actually determines whether something is elastic or inelastic? Like, what makes people more or less sensitive to price changes?
So there are actually a bunch of factors at play here, but one of the biggest ones is the availability of substitutes.
So if there are lots of similar products to choose from, people are more likely to switch if the price goes up.
Exactly. If you've got 10 different brands of cereal to choose from and one brand suddenly gets more expensive, you can easily switch to another brand.
Right. There's plenty of other options, so you're not stuck with the pricier one.
But if there are very few substitutes, like with certain medicines or specialized tools, then demand tends to be more inelastic.
Because you don't really have a choice.
Yeah.
You need that specific thing.
Yep. And another important factor is whether something is a necessity or a luxury.
Okay. So things you absolutely need versus things you just kind of want.
Right. Necessities like food, shelter, and medicine tend to have inelastic demand because people will buy them regardless of the price.
And you got to eat and have a roof over your head.
Exactly. But luxuries like designer clothes or expensive vacations, those are more elastic.
Because you can easily live without them if they get too pricey.
Right. You can cut back on those wants if your budget is tight, but you can't really cut back on needs.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
What else influences how sensitive we are to price?
So another factor is the proportion of income spent on a product.
Okay, so like how big of a chunk of your budget something takes up.
Exactly. If something is a really big purchase, like a car or a house, then demand is usually more elastic.
Because a price increase would have a huge impact on your finances.
Right. You'd really feel that price difference. But if something is really cheap, like a pack of gum, a small price change won't really affect your overall spending.
So those small purchases are more inelastic.
Pretty much. And another thing to consider is time.
Time. How does that play into it?
So in the short term, demand tends to be more inelastic because people don't have a lot of time to adjust their habits.
Like if the price of gas suddenly spikes, you still need to drive to work and school and stuff.
Exactly. But over a longer period, people have more time to find alternatives, like maybe carpool or take public transport.
So in the long run, demand becomes more elastic.
Exactly. People have more time to adapt and find ways to avoid that higher price.
That makes a lot of sense. What about brand loyalty? How does that affect things?
Brand loyalty can actually make demand less elastic. If people are really attached to a specific brand, they're less likely to switch, even if the price goes up.
Yeah, I know people who will only drink a certain type of coffee, no matter how much it costs.
Exactly. They're willing to pay premium for that brand, and companies know this, so they invest a lot in building strong brands.
Because it gives them more pricing power.
Yep. And one final factor to consider is how broadly or narrowly we're defining the market.
Okay, I'm not sure I follow that one.
So think about it this way. The demand for food in general is pretty inelastic because everyone needs to eat.
Right, you can't just stop eating.
But if we narrow it down to a specific type of food, like organic gluten-free bread, then demand becomes more elastic.
Because there are more substitutes within the broader category of food.
Exactly. You could choose regular bread or a different type of gluten-free bread, or even just eat something else entirely.
So the more specific you get, the more elastic the demand is likely to be.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay, so we've covered what PED is, the different categories and all the factors that affect it.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the money. How does PED actually impact a business's revenue?
Okay, so this is where it gets really interesting for companies. So let's start with elastic demand, where people are pretty price sensitive.
Okay, what happens to revenue if a business raises its prices for a product with elastic demand?
So if they raise prices, they'll probably see their total revenue go down, even though they're making more money per unit.
Because people will buy significantly less of it.
Exactly. The drop in sales will outweigh the higher price per unit.
But what if they lower prices?
Then they could actually see their revenue go up because the increase in sales volume would more than make up for the lower price per unit.
So sometimes lowering the price can actually bring in more money.
Exactly. That's why you see so many sales and discounts for products with elastic demand.
Makes sense. Now, what about inelastic demand? How does pricing affect revenue there?
So for inelastic demand, where people aren't very price sensitive, a business can often raise prices and see their revenue go up.
Because people will still buy it, even at the higher price.
Yep. The small decrease in sales won't offset the extra revenue they're getting from each unit.
Interesting. So for those essential items, businesses have a bit more leeway to raise prices without losing too much revenue.
That's why you see things like gas and utilities gradually increasing in price over time.
People still need to drive and heat their homes.
Exactly. And lastly, what about unitary elastic demand? What happens to revenue there?
That was the sweet spot, right? Where price changes don't really affect revenue.
Yeah. So if demand is unitary elastic, raising or lowering prices won't really change the total amount of money a business brings in.
Because the changes in price and quantity demanded perfectly cancel each other out.
Right. So in those cases, businesses might adjust prices for other reasons, like managing inventory or responding to competitors.
Okay. So this isn't just some abstract concept we see PED playing out in the real world all the time, right? Give us some examples.
Oh, absolutely. So like we were just talking about, companies use PED all the time when they're setting prices and running promotions.
So if a company knows a product has elastic demand, they're more likely to offer sales and discounts.
Exactly. They're trying to attract those price-sensitive customers and boost their sales volume. Think about things like clothing, electronics, even airline tickets.
Yeah, those things go on sale all the time.
But for products with inelastic demand, businesses have more pricing power.
Like those essential medicines we were talking about?
Yep. Those prices tend to be much higher, and they don't go on sale very often because people need them regardless of the price.
And what about government policies? Do they ever take PED into account?
All the time, actually, governments use PED when they're deciding how to tax different goods and services.
Interesting. So how does that work?
Well, they often put higher taxes on things with inelastic demand, like tobacco, alcohol, and gasoline.
Because they know people will still buy those things even with the tax.
Exactly. They figure they can raise revenue without causing a huge drop in consumption.
Huh. So there's a strategy behind those so-called sin taxes.
Definitely. And another interesting area where PED comes into play is the labor market.
The labor market? How so?
Well, it all has to do with the wage elasticity of demand.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that term.
Basically, it measures how much the demand for labor changes when wages go up or down.
So if wages increase, will companies hire more or fewer workers?
That depends on the elasticity. If the demand for labor is elastic, meaning employers are very sensitive to wage changes, then a big wage increase might lead to fewer jobs.
Because companies would try to cut costs by hiring fewer people or even laying some off.
Exactly. But if demand for labor is inelastic, then a wage increase might not have a big impact on employment.
Because companies need those workers, regardless of the cost.
Yep. It all comes down to how essential those jobs are and how difficult it is to find replacements.
So PED helps explain why some industries are more affected by wage changes than others.
Right. And it's not just about business and government. PED also helps us understand things like agricultural policies.
Agriculture. How does that fit in?
So the demand for many agricultural products like basic grains and produce is pretty inelastic.
Because people need to eat those staples.
Exactly. But this can create a problem for farmers because if there's a bumper crop and the supply of a product suddenly increases, the price can plummet.
And even though they're selling more, their overall revenue might actually go down.
That's right. And that's why governments often intervene with things like price supports or subsidies to try to stabilize the market.
To protect farmers from those dramatic price swings.
Exactly. It's all about trying to balance supply and demand and ensure that farmers can earn a decent living.
So PED has implications for all sorts of things. It's amazing how widely applicable this concept is.
It really is. It helps explain everything from why we see sales at the grocery store to how governments make decisions about taxes and spending.
Now, I remember reading something about elasticity changing along the demand curve itself. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, so it's not like a product just has one fixed elasticity. It can actually change depending on the price point.
Okay, so how does that work?
So think about a typical downward sloping demand curve. At the top of the curve, where prices are higher, demand tends to be more elastic.
Because people are more price sensitive at those higher price points.
Exactly. They have more room in their budget to consider alternatives or just decide not to buy the product at all.
But as you move down the curve towards lower prices, demand becomes more inelastic.
Right, because at those lower prices, a lot of the people who are price sensitive have already bought the product.
So the people who are left are probably less likely to be swayed by a small price change.
That's the general idea, and somewhere in the middle of the curve, you usually hit that sweet spot of unitary elasticity.
Where the price and quantity changes perfectly offset each other.
Yep. So the same product can have elastic demand at one price and inelastic demand at another.
That's pretty wild. It makes pricing decisions even more complex for businesses.
It definitely adds another layer of complexity they need to figure out where on the demand curve they're operating to make the most strategic decisions.
Now, I know our source material also included an example of how to actually calculate PED. Can you walk us through that one more time just to make sure we've got it?
Sure, thanks. So imagine the price of a whatchamacallit increases from $4 to $5.
Okay, a $1 increase.
And as a result, the quantity demanded decreases from 100 units to 80 units.
So people are buying 20 fewer whatchamacallits.
Right. So to calculate the PED, we first need to figure out the percentage change in quantity demanded.
And how do we do that?
So we take the new quantity demanded, which is 80, subtract the old quantity demanded, which is 100, and divide that by the old quantity demanded, which is 100.
Okay, so 80 minus 100 divided by 100.
Exactly. And then multiply that by 100% to express it as a percentage.
So that gives us minus 20%.
Right. A 20% decrease in quantity demanded. Now we need to do the same thing for the price change.
So new price minus old price divided by old price times 100%.
You got it. So 5 minus 4 divided by 4 times 100% gives us 25%.
Okay, so a 25% increase in price.
And finally, to get the PED, we divide the percentage change in quantity demanded by the percentage change in price.
So minus 20% divided by 25%.
That gives us minus 0.8.
Okay, so we get a negative number. What does that mean?
So the negative sign just indicates that the price and quantity moved in opposite directions. As price went up, quantity went down.
Right, which makes sense.
But for PED, we usually just look at the absolute value of the number. So in this case, 0.8.
Okay, and what does that tell us?
So since 0.8 is less than 1, that means the demand for whatchamacallits in this price range is inelastic.
Meaning
that the percentage decrease in quantity demanded was smaller than the percentage increase in price. People were relatively insensitive to the price change.
Okay, that makes sense. Working through the numbers definitely helps solidify the concept.
I agree. Seeing it in action makes it a lot clearer.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into price elasticity of demand, what's the main takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
I think the biggest thing is that price elasticity of demand helps us understand how people react to price changes and why businesses and governments make the decisions they do.
It's a fundamental concept that affects everything from pricing strategies to taxation policies to even wages and employment.
It's really all around us, even if we don't always realize it.
So now that you've heard all this, think about a product you buy regularly.
And ask yourself, is your demand for that product elastic or inelastic?
What factors influence how much you're willing to pay for it?
Is it something you absolutely need or something you can easily live without?
Are there lots of substitutes available or is it a unique product?
Thinking about these questions can give you a whole new perspective on your own buying habits.
And how you fit into the bigger picture of supply and demand.
And on that note, we'd like to thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
We hope you found it enlightening and maybe even a little bit mind-blowing.
Until next time, keep exploring and keep asking questions.
And most importantly, keep learning.
Yeah, keep learning.
Because knowledge is power.
That's right. Knowledge is power.